Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be $46 a month higher compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code Howie50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up. Toby!
Hello, everyone. That's right. It's 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and that means it's time for 2A Tuesdays, which is sponsored by Fairway Financial and Cape Cod's retirement income specialist, Steve Manzoni. So go to fairwayfinancial.net. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis joins us now. And if you want to get on the line with Toby, all you have to do is dial 844-500-4242. I'm going to say it again, 844-500-4242. I know there were a lot of people last week that we weren't able to get to, so the lines are open right now. If we missed you last week, now's the perfect time to call in. If you want to text in, if you get a little shy on the radio, you can text your question to 617-213-1066 and start the text with the word Curly. Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Grace. Thanks so much for having me.
And Toby, while I let people get on the lines, and again, if you want to ask about a type of gun, if you want to talk about ammo or licensing, whatever your question is, just call 844-500-4242. There's a piece today in the New York Times, because there's been a lot of talk recently over the Democrats and their failure to address the rising crime in this country. And the title is GOP redoubles efforts to tie Democrats to high crime rates. Now, the reason I bring this up, Toby, is because there's some interesting quotes at the very, very end of the interview that don't really go with the narrative that the New York Times is trying to push. Now, this is Alana Gonzalez, and she's a retiree in a Seattle suburb. She says, "I wouldn't even let my kids play with guns. And now we've talked about getting one. We've had break-ins in our condo. There's been shootings on the street. Never did we have anything like that before." How often are you seeing this, Toby, of people who were very much opposed to guns in their life and who are now kind of considering protecting themselves with a weapon?
Well, you know, every once in a while, a little bit of truth slips out in the New York Times or the mainstream media. And this is one of those situations. And we saw it with Joe Biden when he was speaking to that teachers union last Friday. And he said, what in God's name do you need an assault weapon for? It's a weapon designed to kill people, to defend America, and to defend people. And I tweeted that out, and I said, yeah, exactly. Like, can we call them defense weapons now? That's what we've been saying for years. And so it's interesting to see that article that you just pointed out, where people who normally, whether it because of media influence or the negative stigmatism in their mind, the perceived effect of saying I'm a gun owner, has led them to have zero interest in owning guns. And then all of a sudden, an event occurs in their life where they're like, I want to get a gun. And this is, they recognize a tool, like a gun, can be used for good or for evil. And the good news is it's used about 2.5 million times a year to defend people from horrific, potentially horrific and life-threatening situations. And the media just doesn't report on that. They only report on the negative interactions with firearms, and they use co-opted terms like, you know, gun violence and assault weapons, and they use fear to turn people into not wanting to own a gun. But once you realize, like, our country was founded on people who owned guns, who were able to resist the tyranny from government, and then went on to own guns throughout the whole history of our country, and recognized that, you know what, owning a gun as a responsible gun owner doesn't make you less safe. It actually makes you more safe, because once you've taken training and learned how to use it, now you're competent in how to use it, and it's a tool that can be used to defend yourself. So I'm glad to see people coming around and recognizing it for exactly what it is, and even Joe Biden recognizing it for what it is, a defense weapon. So, yeah, I think it's good to see that happen, and it does take sometimes a scary incident for people to realize that.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, occasionally some truth slips into the New York Times, but it's always in the last two or three paragraphs. It's never starting off the article that way. Let's go to first up today with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks is Harry. Go ahead, Harry.
How you doing, Toby? I wanted to ask you a question, and I've seen it. It's already in law. When I buy ammunition or if I buy a gun, there's a credit card code that's now submitted that says you bought ammunition, you bought a gun, it's got your name, it's got everything about you. To me, that's an invasion of privacy. Somebody buys a knife or something, or a crossbow, or anything like that, that's not dumb. But if you buy ammunition or a gun, the special code goes in saying John Doe's just bought a 357 Magnum from XXK Gunworks. And that's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%, Harry. And interesting story along those lines is last Saturday we had a couple come in right before close and buy a couple guns, buy a bunch of ammo, and they were retired from the DOD. They both worked for the Department of Defense. And guess what? They paid cash for their entire purchase, and they said, yeah, we don't trust the government. So this is a career federal government employee that paid cash for that exact reason and said, we don't trust the government. I don't know how far down that merchant consumer code that they created for gun purchases drills down into the minutia, but the very least, they'll know you bought something at the gun store, right? And so for that reason, we've seen a huge uptick in people actually paying cash instead of using credit cards. I think they shot themselves in the foot, so to speak, because they're going to get less fees, they're going to get less revenue from gun stores as more and more people pay cash for their purchases. I don't know that there's some database anywhere that government officials are sifting through every time a credit card is scanned at the gun store, but who knows if they can subpoena that type of information or what and why. And the credit card companies went on the defensive saying like, whoa, we're not like keeping track of anybody's stuff. And it's like, well, why did you go through the effort of creating this merchant consumer code if you're not going to do anything with the information? That doesn't make sense. So take it for what it is, but I agree with you, and I do think it's an invasion of your privacy.
Yeah, and Toby, we've been getting this question the last two or three weeks that you've been on. Are there any groups out there that are kind of mobilizing to push back on this?
Well, I think it was like 23 congressmen sent a letter, an open letter to the big three credit card companies saying, this is ridiculous. Like, you need to knock it off. And this was in direct response from Governor Hochul and Senator Warren, two big non-gun-loving politicians that have basically declared war on firearms manufacturers and merchants and, you know, gun owners themselves, and are doing whatever they can to circumvent their authority under the law, which is very limited as it relates to enforcement of anti-gun legislation, and try to outsource that to a third party like banks. And so that's what happened under the Obama administration with one of the big schemes that they had called Operation Choke Point. And so it's, you know, whatever it takes to restrict your ability to own a firearm, little by little, they're in it for the long game, and they won't stop fighting until they have banned guns altogether. And I used to say stuff like that, and people would be like, oh, that's ridiculous. But now they're not even hiding it. They're saying, Joe Biden just said, I will not stop fighting until we have eliminated assault weapons. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. And now they're just out in the open with it, whereas before you like had to piece together all the puzzles to see what their end game was. But they're not even trying to hide it anymore.
Yeah, and just before we go to the break here, you can get on the line at 844-500-4242. I see you on the lines. Do not move. We're going to come right back to your calls. But before we go to the break, I just want to give an update on the president who we were told when he was running was Mr. Unity. You know, he wasn't petulant. He was mature and civil, a Socratic statesman. I just wanted to give everyone this update. According to Charlie Spearing, who's a journalist from Breitbart, White House says Biden spoke with three mayors in Florida in anticipation of Hurricane Ian. The FEMA manager says Biden directed her to contact DeSantis. Really classy guy, very mature, you know, when something's happening in Florida. He can't even pick up the phone and call Governor Ron DeSantis because that would be acknowledging that Governor Ron DeSantis is in charge of Florida. And we wouldn't want to do that, Joe, would we? I mean, the level of just thin-skinned immaturity from Joe Biden is something to behold. We'll be right back with Toby Leary.
Everybody's entitled to be an idiot.
That is true. We'll be right back with Toby Leary, 844-500-4242. And we'll also take your questions on the text line. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley for a delightful afternoon.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Afternoon delight.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. By the way, the Congressional Budget Office has a new estimate on the student loan. What should I call it? Calling it student loan forgiveness feels a little bit like a euphemism. Student loan student loan handout. And they're estimating that it will cost $400 billion. I was talking to my boss, Howie Carr, earlier, and he said, I think they're probably, even with that, that's a conservative estimate. And I thought, of course, I mean, $400 billion, I'm sure it will be more.
Oh, boy.
But it's nice that they finally have some sort of figure to tell us. 844-500-4242. Toby Leary is our gun expert from Cape Gunworks, and he is here to take all of your questions. Let's start with Lenny, who's been on the line for a while. Lenny, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Toby. I just bought my first 9mm. It's HK VP9, and I wanted to look into some cleaning supplies. And so I was looking at this oil called, I guess they call it CLP, cleaning, lubricating, and protecting. But it seems like there's a bunch of different brands and all kinds of opinions on what's good and what isn't. So I wanted to get your opinion on what to buy for that.
Yeah, sure. No, it's a great question. There's a lot of good products out there right now. And the good news is they won't sink you out of the house like some of the older stuff that was out there. I know there's some people that love the good old Hoppy's number 9 that makes your eyes water and gets into your nasal cavity and made my wife yell at me. So I've discontinued use of some of that. Not that it's not good at what it does, but the CLP, which stands for Cleans, Lubes, and Clean, Lube, and Protect, they're kind of a one-step cleaning solution. There's lots of different companies that make it. Breakthrough Clean is one that does a good job. Even though they make more of a two-part system. But as far as CLP, Cleanse Oil is the one we sell a lot of at our shop. There's also Lucas Oil makes a great one that is very, you know, nose-sensitive. It's not going to stink you out of the house. It has, like, a grape smell to it. But they do a very good job of cleaning and lubing and protecting. And they dry on the gun itself, which creates that protectant film, so it won't rust and corrode. But as long as you clean your gun every, you know, a couple hundred rounds, I think you'd be fine with whatever CLP product you use. I don't go real hard at the bore on the guns. I just kind of clean all the carbon that builds up around the gun, maybe in the feed ramp area and the inside of the trigger area and the slide itself. But I don't really go hard inside the barrel. I just haven't found an upside to the amount of effort that it takes to clean out the inside of the barrel. But congratulations on your first gun purchase. The HK VP9 is an excellent choice. It's a very, very good gun. We sell a ton of them here at Cape Gunworks. I think you'll be very happy with it long term. They are very robust and reliable guns.
All right. Thank you, Lenny. Let's go to Dave. You're up next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Grace. Love the show. Toby, thanks for doing this. Quick question about what's the proper etiquette for if you're carrying a loaded, you know, revolver or whatever in concealed, walking into a gun store? Does it not matter?
Yeah, I would say that it's different for every gun store. Like, my friend took a picture when he came to town to do a training class at our store, which basically just says, keep it holstered. Please don't take it out of the holster. But we encourage concealed carry in our shop or responsible carrying of a gun in our shop. And just don't ask. We just ask that you don't take it out of the holster. That's the only time it could get a little sketchy, if for obvious reasons. But there's other shops, and my friend was showing me pictures from these shops in Texas that said no guns allowed in a gun store, you know, no carrying of a gun allowed inside a gun store, which I think is kind of funny. It's funny, peculiar. But really, it's no different than if you're in the grocery store or at the farm market or wherever you go in your day-to-day. Out of sight, out of mind is always the best policy, in my opinion. And as long as it's in a holster, we don't really care. Carry away. Some people carry it out onto the range when they're going to shoot, and then they'll unload their hollow point ammunition on the range, put in their practice ammo, shoot, and then reload the gun, put it back in their holster, and walk out. So as long as it's, on your body, concealed in a holster in a safe way, then I wouldn't worry about it. But some stores do differ in their personal rules, if you will, on how to handle that, which I think is kind of funny. If you can't trust your customers carrying a gun in your own gun shop, maybe you should find another line of work. But that's just my personal opinion on that, Dave. But no different than anywhere else you'd go.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the call, Dave. 844-500-4242. Still a few lines open. If you have a question for Toby, we'll continue to take your calls until around 2:45. Let's go to Kevin. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. So, Toby, I have two quick questions. One is, what year magazine do I need to get for it to be like a 15-round magazine for P226 for it to be pre-ban? And if I swap a barrel out, like a mass-compliant barrel that has the notch in the barrel hood, if I swap that out for a barrel that does not have the notch, does that make the gun non-compliant in Massachusetts?
Excellent question, Kevin. So first things first, the pre-ban law went into effect September 13th, 1994, so it has to have been made prior to September 13th, 1994. That's when the federal assault weapons ban went into effect. Massachusetts made that permanent in 1998, so we never had the sunset provision that the rest of the country had in 2004. So we've been living under that assault weapons ban, which also restricted magazine capacity ever since 1994. Hopefully, there's been some challenges in federal court recently that will eventually make that go away. I think we're a little ways out from that. But they did have 226s prior to that date, so there are pre-ban high cap mags available. We get them from time to time in our shop. There's plenty of them around, so you should be able to get them. And lastly, you don't have to worry about modifying your gun to make it mass compliant. That's a dealer-only thing. So you can put whatever barrel you want.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Toby. 844-500-4242. A few lines open, so get on now to talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have full lines for Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, so I'm not going to hog up any of the time here. Let's go right to Frank. You're next up with Toby. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, Grace. Love your show. Hi, Toby. I got a quick question. you know, the average American in Massachusetts works 5-6 days a week. What do we got to do to pass a bill so we can hunt on Sundays?
Oh, man. I thought it was going to pass a couple of years ago, and then COVID happened. It would be very, very good, but unfortunately, the sentiment in this state is they want to make it harder for people to hunt and less people afield. So I don't know how we can actually get that done. I know the county league has been the one to take the county league of sportsmen have taken it to the Beacon Hill before a couple of times it's been presented, but I think it dies in committee. But I would say go to your local sportsman's club and try to get involved and get a petition going to get it going again. Cause I agree with you. Sunday hunting is a thing that, you know, especially when, like you said, you work 5-6 days a week and then you get one day a field, it really is a terrible thing. And we could have the woods to ourselves if people are real diehard Patriots fans. So I think Sunday hunting should definitely come back or be a thing. I don't know if it was ever a thing in Massachusetts, but it should be. And I would love to get on that petition if somebody heads that up or has any information about where the County League of Sportsmen has got with that. But it does come up every few years. But you can tell from the state sentiment of making it very hard to get a hunter safety course and then jacking the hunter's hunting fees up. I think they tripled them the last raise of the hunting license fees. So, you know, they don't want more people afield. They want less. So trying to get them to open up on Sunday is going to be a hard road to hoe, if you ask me. But I'm right there with you, Frank. I hope someone can get that done. And you could always bring that bill to your local congressman because they have to introduce it if you bring it to them. And, you know, they might just let it die in committee again, but at least they go on record for introducing it. And, you know, I would say try and get as many people as you know on board because I would sign off on that as well if I could, you know, put my name on a signature for that.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Let's go to Rich. You're next up with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Rich.
All right, great. Long time, first time. Hey, Toby. Might need a cone of silence for this one. just kidding. A few years ago, before...
Are you there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, we lost you for a second. Start again. We lost you.
Okay, because I'm way up in the woods here. But a few years ago, before Brandon got in, I purchased a AR-15 pistol with that arm brace that he's all talking about now that makes it fully automatic for some strange reason. I don't know where he gets that from. But just curious about if the law passes to make that illegal, what's the way to hold on to that without going to... Am I going to be forced to pay to register it and pay the $250 tax on that? Or should I was thinking about selling it and then just buying another rifle instead. But it's going to be kind of heavy hitter. That's my wife's fire.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate. And this is a huge example of government overreach, and unfortunately it's not even a law that's going to pass. It is a regulatory change by the ATF. So the ATF is going to change the rule as it applies to the short-barreled rifles and pistols, et cetera, and basically declare that arm braces make the pistol into a rifle, which would be subject to the NFA and which would be subject to a $200 transfer tax as well as other government requirements. And there's probably 20 million of these arm braces in circulation. The government lied and said there's only about 1.5 million of them out there. So this has a chance to significantly affect 20 million people in this country, which is huge. And the Supreme Court dealt with this in the EPA versus West Virginia. Look up that ruling about how regulatory agencies aren't given the power to make these type of changes by the Congress. That's Congress's job to write law. But these government agencies, these three-letter agencies, have been making rules and rule changes that could significantly affect your ability to live a free life and as well as violate your Second Amendment rights. So what I'm getting at is just by this simple rule change, if you don't take their amnesty program and apply for a SBR license, a short-barreled rifle license. We're talking about barrel length here. So if the rifle has a barrel of under 16 inches, it is a regulated item, and you got to pay the government a $200 tax and register it and all this stuff. So by having an arm brace on this, they're saying it's an SBR. And then if you don't do that, you're in violation of the NFA Act, and it carries horrific consequences. There was a guy down in Florida that just got sentenced to 21 months in jail for attaching a stock to a pistol. And here's a guy who's a family man. It's a victimless crime, and he's going to federal penitentiary for 21 months, which is ridiculous. Drug dealers and gangbangers are out on the street with no bail or low bail, and here's a guy who's a family guy who worked at a police department as a dispatcher, and he's going to do 21 months in federal penitentiary for violating this. And this is what is hanging over everybody's head who has an AR with an arm brace or any type of pistol with an arm brace as soon as this rule goes into effect. And they're saying, they're trying to come off as the good guy saying, oh, but we're not going to charge you the $200. Just go ahead and register it, and then you'll just have to ask us for permission if you want to drive out of state with it within, you know, 30 days of traveling out of state. Basically, what it's proving is that the NFA Act and the ATF has worn out their welcome, as far as I'm concerned, and they're a regulatory body that should just go away at this point. And hopefully somebody can stop this impending train wreck that is coming down the track 100 miles an hour and looking at about 20 million people. So good luck with that, Rich. You could always just take the arm brace off and be compliant, but it's going to be a lot harder to shoot, or you can do the registration process, or you can just sell it, like you said. But honestly, I would just take the arm brace off until this all gets worked out. So hopefully that is my long-winded answer that helps you make a decision that's going to keep you out of the clink as far as the feds are concerned.
Yeah, we don't want anyone in the clink, because I don't know if you'll get the Grace Curley show from inside the jail cell. So stay out of the clink. Okay, now let's go to Baxter. You're up next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Baxter.
Hi, Grace. Hi, Toby. I just have thrown some advice out there from former law enforcement. If you're going to be a first-time handgun buyer in Massachusetts and you're going to plan on buying a gun from Toby, what I would suggest that I've always done, or buy not one, but two of the same model you're going to buy, and I'll give you the two reasons why. One is, if you ever have to send out a firearm for service, you have a backup at home, because it could take weeks. But more importantly, if you're ever involved in a shooting, which is even legally going to be end up being justified, that weapon would be seized by the DA's office and could be held for evidence for up to a year. And that's a year you don't have your gun with you. But if you have a backup of the same model that you bought from Toby, instead of buying one, buy two, then you're going to have coverage. That's all I wanted to say, Toby. And it is a little plug for you, but it's good advice.
All right. Thank you, Baxter.
Yes, it's sage advice, Baxter. I said that, and I actually got taken to the cleaners by a bunch of people on the comments once when I told I actually did a little video about that. Why buying, what gun should I buy? How about a backup to your everyday carry gun? And it's great advice for a lot of different reasons. So you can train with the one you have as your backup and then keep the round count low on your everyday carry gun. But yeah, I think it's great advice, and I actually abide by it myself. So there you have it. So good job, Baxter.
All right, let's go to Dave. You're next up with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, hi, Grace. Hi, Toby. Question about the 6.5 caliber versus 30-06, 308, and like 270, 223. What do you think as far as getting a good hunting rifle would be a good caliber? I looked at some reviews on the 30-06 versus the 6.5, and it looks like a lot of people like the old 30-06, and a lot of them like the 6.5. So what's your opinion on that?
Ballistically, they're all going to get the job done as far as a hunting round is concerned. The 270, 30-06, 308, 6.5 Creedmoor. The 6.5 Creedmoor is basically a 308 that's necked down from 7.62 down to 6.5 millimeter. So it has an unbelievable ballistic coefficient. That's why it's been all the rage the last few years, is people really like it, because
It's an extremely low drag cartridge, which stays supersonic to about 1,100 yards. And so it's a very good long range round. It's a very accurate round if you want to get into like long range precision rifle game, which, you know, it's just out of the box, a very, very accurate round. And it's, you know, light recoiling per se. It's a little less than a 308, I would say. But, you know, it's really known for its extreme accuracy. And now that ammunition is starting to come back, I see more and more 6.5 Creedmoor in the shop. Still hard to find 30-odd 6. 308 is always going to be probably the most abundant out of those. And 270 is also a very, very good round. 243 is a little bit lighter of a rifle round for hunting purposes. But I would say if you stick with any of those four or five calibers, you're in good shape. I personally like the 6.5 Creedmoor because it does double duty as a great hunting round and an extremely long-range precision rifle round if you like to kind of geek out and shoot long-range or shoot very accurate groups at 100 yards, whatever. So for that reason, I like the 6.5 Creedmoor, and there's other great rounds out there that do both, but that one is probably the most mainstream at this point. And at one point, it was the most popular round in America. It actually surpassed 5.56 for a little while, but it's now, I'm sure it hasn't because it's been hard to get. But so, yeah, I think you won't go wrong with any of those calibers, but I personally like the 6.5. I've kind of jumped on the bandwagon myself because it's such an extremely accurate round and fun to shoot.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Richie. You're next on the Grace Curley Show with Toby Leary. Are you ready for your, or go ahead, Richie. Sorry, I just sneezed, so I'm thrown off here.
Thanks, Grace. Hey, Toby, a couple of time caller, but I had a question many years back. One of the, one of your, I wouldn't say competitors, but stores was selling, trading police Glocks. Is that still going on? And then I have a follow-up after that, which is, I had a P938 Sauer and I got rid of it and I regret it. How hard are they to get now? Because I never see them advertised.
Yeah, great question. The SIG 938 is still made. We get them kind of rarely, but we do get them from time to time. You could always do a special order, and when one comes in, we'll give you a call. But as far as the Glock trade-ins, you do see those from time to time. Basically, it has to be a Gen 2.5 or older for us to sell it through the store. So those have kind of cycled their way through, and I would say that, you know, the last few big police department buys were probably at least a Gen 3 or a Gen 4, and so we're starting to see some of the newer models cycle through. I am usually offered them by some of the distributors that do big buys with police departments, and Glock is, you know, one of the top law enforcement firearms in the country, and so they are usually dealing directly with the law enforcement agency and taking those guns on trade, and then they disseminate them to the distributor market. So they do sometimes trickle their way back down through, but I haven't seen them a lot in the past few years. We used to get them all the time, but most of the time they're 40 caliber anyway, so a lot of people have soured to the 40 caliber firearms and are, you know, going with 9mm or whatever. So with that being said, I just don't see them as much as I used to. And in some cases, if you do are able to buy like a Gen 2 Glock and you can, you know, in 40 cal, you can always get the conversion barrel for a 9mm. So I would say still jump on the chance to buy a 40 cal because with just a barrel swap and a magazine swap, you can be shooting 9mm out of it in no time. So it's still a good buy if you can get it. But hopefully we'll see some good positive movement on the Attorney General roster being challenged, you know, the mass weapons roster being challenged by Firearms Policy Coalition. And maybe that'll all go away and we'll be able to buy whatever gun we want, like most states. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled, Richie. You'll find both of those guns in some cases, though.
All right. Thank you, Toby. And, Toby, please let people know where they can reach you and where they can visit you at Keep Gun Works.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. We're always right here at CapeGunWorks.com. You can go shop online. We have free shipping for any purchase over $300, which we're really excited about. We're delivering the ammo in-state, which is huge. It's been great. The The mobile command unit has been on the street every, you know, every other day here, hitting the good people up of Massachusetts with ammo and whatever accessories they want. And you can always come down to Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. We'd love to see you. You can shoot on our range or shop in the store. And, you know, hear us on Rapid Fire as well, which is a weekly radio show that we do every week. So go to CapeGunworks.com for that or RapidFireRadio.us. And we have a very special class that's coming up on November 4th. It's Recognizing Workplace Threats. So it's a, you don't want to miss that. That's a very timely class for what's going on in our world these days. So, but I thank you for having me on, Grace, and we look forward to being on with you next week.
Thank you very much, Toby. Wall Street is in a downturn, and it's taking your retirement money with it. It's so true, and the narrative's already changing. It was, you know, that we were going to have a soft landing. Now it looks like it's going to be a hard landing. And of course, you're the one who's going to have to pay the price. The fact is that we're in a financial storm, and that means the global economy is weakening. So you need to hedge to protect your retirement so you don't lose any more money. You need to stop the bleeding and protect yourself. That's why our friends at Monetary Gold would like to send you two free guides, not one, but two free guides. Five money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. And the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide. These free guides will show you how to protect your assets and get through this financial crisis. I don't know if people are aware of this, but during the high inflation of the 70s, gold increased in value 2,300%. And today you can buy physical gold or silver and roll over your IRA or 401k retirement account. Gold and silver can help you diversify your risk and protect your retirement in these uncertain times. And boy, are they uncertain. All you have to do is call Monetary Gold and you'll get these two free guides. It's 800-267-6500. That's 800-267-6500. Or you can go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. 800-267-6500. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. And views are beautiful and rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on the weekends, November through March. So book online at NausetBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe Gavin Newsom when he says he isn't running for president?
No. No, I do not. And you can say it in any language you want. No, I do not.
96% of the audience does not believe him. 4% believe he will not run for president.
Oh, you're taking Gavin Newsom at his word. Very, very bold of you. Howie Carr is coming up next, and he has so much to talk to you about. Howie joins us now in the studio with a sporting a green tie and as ode to his Irish heritage. Hello, Howie.
Hi there, Grace.
All right, Howie, you're from TV. You know how to do this. You've got about 15 seconds to sell what you've got going on today.
We're going to start out with Brandon's declaration of emergency.
Oh, that you're going to say Declaration of Independence. I was like, oh, boy.
You know the thing.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. No, we'll be doing a lot of stuff like that.
You know the thing.
It's weird. Classy Joe Biden, the compassionate, grandfathery, whispery man.
Also lying about gasoline prices. I know that's hard to believe, but he's been lying about gasoline prices.
And he can't call Ron DeSantis.
And the speed of AR-15 bullets. So much he's been lying about.
All right, Howie's got a great show coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow.